Tonight I've got a message called Nevertheless. Nevertheless. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verses 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 7 says this. You got it? Here we go. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Here's my word here. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7, and not only by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoiced the more. Let's pray and offer this short message to the Lord, and ask the Lord to help us to communicate it, and hear it, and understand it. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for these good people that have come out tonight, Lord, to show their dedication to you, Lord, and their service to you. I pray that you bless them, help them, Lord, to understand what the meaning of this short message is going to be about, Lord, and help us, Lord, in our times of distress and things that are going wrong, Lord, seeming to be out of order and not going the way we sort of planned it to be, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would be like Paul and say, nevertheless, God will intervene on our behalf. And we pray that you would do that for us, Lord, in our situation at Coastline Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, to look to you as we go through this short trial, Lord. Just bless this message, Lord. Bless me as I preach it. Bless the people as they hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, this is part one of a 3 or 4 part series of short devotionals focusing upon the Apostle Paul's use of the word nevertheless. Nevertheless. The message focuses upon the phrase in verse 6 of our opening scripture where Paul says, nevertheless God. Nevertheless God. The word nevertheless and a similar word notwithstanding frequently appear in both the Old and New Testaments. These two words express the promised truth that no matter how difficult or even how impossible certain situations may appear to be to us, God has the solution. We can make real the solution, that solution, in whatever circumstances we might find ourselves. If we will only trust God, believe his word, and walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord our God allows hindrances and trials to come our way so that we will learn to humble ourselves. So that we will learn not to trust ourselves, but to trust God. Amen? Nevertheless, God. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 55. I'm not getting you to turn to too many scriptures tonight. Psalm 55 is another one, though. I want to show you something in here. In Psalm 55, verses 1 to 6, we read of David's plea to the Lord when he was in fear and trembling for his very life. When all seemed to be darkness and despair, and he was without hope, he prayed to the Lord. Amen? That's what we need to do. And here's what he prayed. Righto, Psalm 55, verses 1 to 6. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. He wanted to fly away. The only way he could see getting out of this is sprout some wings and feathers and fly away. You know, I used to think about that when I was a little kid. I grew up in a very, very bad home environment. And I used to lay in my bed of a night as a little kid, wishing I could grow wings and fly away. And when I got saved, I read this, what David said, and I identified with it. If I just could grow wings, I'd fly away from here and get out of it. But I couldn't. God kept me there and brought me through all my troubles and distress until the day I got so distressed I had to call out to him. David called out to God. He called out to God. Oh, I wish I could just grow wings and fly out of this terrible situation. But he couldn't. Anyhow, in verse 16 and 17, however, after David said all that, through the darkness of his troubled thoughts, David reminds us just who it is that orders our steps and who it is that promises to sustain us if we will just look to him for our solutions and not to ourselves. All right? He says in verse 16, as for me, here, I've just explained all my situation here to the Lord. He says, but as for me, I will call upon God. I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. Wow. That's in the Word of God, my friends. That's in the Word of God. God inspired that to be written in the Word of God because God wants us to know where to pray. And he will hear our voice. All right? He will hear our voice and he will answer us. In verse 22, David reminds those of us who forget who it is we are petitioning when difficulties come. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous. You know, we're not really that great people. I'll admit that about myself anyway. Some of you people are nice, great people. But all of us are not righteous in and of ourselves. But God sees us as righteous. How? Because we're saved. We have been given the righteousness of Christ. So God sees us as righteous. He sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross. He doesn't see our sin anymore, does he? Even though we're still sinful human beings, he doesn't see our sin. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I remember your sins no more. God can't forget. God can't forget. He chooses not to remember. He chooses not to remember. And he will never, never suffer the righteous, us. That's us. If you're a born-again Christian, God sees you as righteous. He's talking about us. Some might be tempted to think that God's promises to David were made because he had a special purpose for David. He would become king of Israel, wouldn't he? He's going to be the king. He's a special bloke, this David. And the very lineage from which the Lord Jesus would come. The throne of David and the son of David. That's the Lord Jesus they're talking about, right? So David was a very special person. And we might get the idea, God was talking to David, it's special blokes, not to us. This is what we think. Who are we that God should care in the same way about us as he did about David? Well, nevertheless, God, in the New Testament, repeats the promise for the Christian in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7, which read, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for us the same way he cared for King David, all right? King David was just a human being like us, with frailties too. In our opening passage of Scripture tonight, God presents us with some of the difficult situations that the Apostle Paul faced during his life and ministry. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7:5, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God had special comfort and help for Paul. Firstly, he had comfort and help for Paul in the person of a fellow brother in Christ and friend Titus. In verse 6 we read, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He sent a fellow Christian along at the right time. And secondly, in verse 7, where we read that Paul received comfort by the word brought to him concerning the believers in the Corinthian church who expressed compassion for him and who were prayerfully concerned about Paul's heavy burdens. People were praying for him. Verse 7 reads, "And not by the coming of Titus only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." Paul felt good. Paul felt good. He knew people were praying for him. He knew people were concerned about him. How often do we bother to stop and take time to consider the comfort that God has given to each of us in the midst of our own times of difficulty and sorrow? These blessings from the Lord that Paul experienced are promised to all obedient believers who will separate from unrighteousness and who will refuse to touch any unclean thing. In the previous chapter of our opening scripture, chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, we read about these promises and the conditions that apply if we want to partake of them, and if we want to enjoy the fulfillment in our lives and in our circumstances. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, we read, you can turn there if you like, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, we all know the scripture, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty." The Lord Almighty says that about us. Amen. Obedience to God will nearly always come with a price. You will suffer rejection by those who were once close friends. You notice that? When you got saved, people rejected you. But so what? So what? In verse 14 of the passage we just read, God demands that we are to be not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And in verse 17, we are to come out from among them. So if they reject you, praise the Lord, it's just helping you to obey God. Isn't it? Isn't it? Unsaved friends who'll drag you back into the world, they get hostile. They cast you off. Well, God said to get separated from them anyway. You couldn't do it yourself, they'll do it for you, I've found that. Amen. So, we are to separate from them if we want to enjoy God's promise in verse 17 and 18 that he will receive us and that he will manifest himself to us as our heavenly Father. "I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters," he says. Paul's nevertheless experiences will be our nevertheless experience as well if we will put into practice the conditions that God clearly teaches us in Scripture. If we will practice biblical separation, and if we will walk in holiness, and if we will also walk in the fear of God and remember him in our times of need, God will bring comfort and he will provide solutions. Verse 1 of our opening scripture makes this promise. Let's read it again. Our opening scripture was 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us..." The promises to us. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us..." And then he goes on with the rest. Paul is speaking to us. It's us he addresses as his dearly beloved. And he's telling us, you, me, Huey, Colleen, Andy, you people there, he's telling us, every one of us, as Christians here tonight, "Having therefore these promises." What promises? Verse 6 of our opening scripture declares the promises. Verse 6, "Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down will also comfort and sustain us during times of difficulty and during seemingly impossible circumstances. Circumstances which cause us to momentarily forget God and cause us to look to ourselves for strength to overcome in our time of need." When we are confronted with overwhelming situations in our lives, which will happen from now and from time to time, let us remember, as Paul did, "Nevertheless, God." When we're in all our strife and turmoil, remember, "Nevertheless, God." Let us remember to think, "Nevertheless, God." Let's bring God into the picture. Amen? Let's pray and close.